Well, tonight we read the words of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. So now's your chance to ask that question, the ultimate question: why am I here? What's the point of life? What's the point of my life? So what's Solomon's answer? Solomon, tell us, what's the point of life? And he says, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 15, "So I commended enjoyment, because a man is nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry." Did you hear that? We can sum up the purpose of your life in five words: eat, drink, and be merry. What do you think of Solomon's answer? A man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. Seven times in the passage that Zach read, Solomon uses an expression. Did you spot it? What is it? Verse 15, "So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry." Verse 3 of chapter 9, "This is an evil." So this is an evil in all that is done under the sun. Verse 9, "Live joyfully with a wife whom you love all the days of your life, which he has given you under the sun." Seven times in this passage, Solomon says, "under the sun." Now, what does he mean? It means seeing things from where I'm standing. Senses, mind, experience, working overtime, trying to make sense of life. Under the sun. It's the standpoint of an unbeliever. It's your standpoint if you leave God out of the picture. It means nothing revealed from above, simply what is seen from below. It's living inside the box. And all you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be. And from that perspective, says Solomon, under the sun, the only useful thing to do with your life, and there's nothing better to do with it, the only useful thing to do is to eat, drink, and be merry. Okay, Solomon, but why? Because, says Solomon, life doesn't go on forever, does it? We read those words. Over all of those words is a shadow. It's the shadow of death. My friend, every second, someone somewhere dies. Every second, someone's father, mother, son, daughter, sister, brother dies. Every second, someone is claimed by disease, famine, war, disaster. And a second will come when that someone is you. Life is brief. Death is certain. In which case, says Solomon, eat, drink, and be merry. Extract from the moment all that you can, because the moment is all that you have. Let's look at what Solomon says. Have that passage open in front of you. Let Solomon persuade you tonight to go out of here and to live every moment as if it was your last. To squeeze every moment dry. Let Solomon persuade you to live life to the full. To eat, drink, and be merry. Now, Solomon speaks in this passage as though he puts an hourglass in front of us. And as the sand rushes through the hourglass, so it marks the passing of my life. And the sand is escaping far quicker than I ever thought it would. At this rate, my life will soon be over. So to Solomon, eat, drink, and be merry, and I'll give you three reasons why. Number one, because life is absurd. Can you make sense of it? Verse 14 of chapter 8. "There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity." In other words, the good die young and the wicked live long. The good get treated like the wicked and the wicked get rewarded as though they've been good. Now, who can make sense of that? Verse 14 says, Solomon, I said, this is also vanity. It means this is also absurd. Solomon's angry. It's absurd. It's meaningless. What was Joseph Stalin doing tyrannizing the Soviet Union, butchering millions for 3 decades and living to the relatively comfortable age of 74, when decent, honest, good people who've blessed our lives are so soon taken from us? That's absurd, isn't it? So if that's how the world works, says Solomon, why strive to be good? Why strive to make the lives of others better? Why care if you're wicked? It doesn't matter. So the best you can do is to enjoy your life while you can. So I commended enjoyment because a man has nothing better to do under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. In this topsy-turvy world, that's the only certainty you can rely upon. Verse 15, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. And says Solomon, verses 16 and 17, don't let any wise man out there try to tell you otherwise. You ever lain awake in bed at night, trying to make sense of it all? Who am I? Where's it going? What's it all about? Well, says Solomon, I've been lying awake as well, verse 16. I've been trying to work it out, trying to make sense of what God is doing, if there is a God. But I tell you, it's beyond even me, beyond even Solomon, the wisest man who's ever lived. Verse 17, for though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. God's ways are unknowable. The mystery of providence. So looking at our hourglass and the sand is draining through, my life is rushing to a close. Just don't waste your time trying to make sense of life. There's always people who are out there wondering why. Well, let them wonder why. Let them have their high thoughts. Don't you waste your time upon it, because you'll never come to an answer. You build your life on some certainties. The only certainty, if life is absurd, is have a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry. Reason two, says Solomon, for leaving this place and going to a party is because death is the end. It is, isn't it? No one's come back to tell us otherwise, have they? Chapter 9, verse 1. For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and all their works are in the hand of God. Okay, so Solomon, so I'm in God's hands. But that's no comfort to me. Because as Solomon goes on in the second half of that verse to say, even if you think you're pleasing God, you've chosen a righteous life, a good life, a wise life, how do you know you're pleasing God? How do I know if I'm winning God's love? Or if I'm escaping God's hatred? How do I know? Suppose I go to a monastery, I take a vow, I said I'm going to live a good life from now on. How do I know that's going to guarantee future happiness in some heaven out there? The only certainty you've got to go on is death. Verse 2, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who doesn't sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath is he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. You can be moral, immoral, religious, irreligious. You can be a man of integrity or a man with something to hide. You can be a heroic soldier or you can be a suicide bomber. But whatever you do and whatever you've been, one thing is certain. You're going to die. When World War II broke out, C.S. Lewis said, we now have less chance of dying of cancer. One certain thing in an uncertain world, I'm going to die. Says Solomon, verse 3, one thing happens to all. It'll happen to you, it'll happen to me. It's death. Death, the great killjoy. So if God is unknowable and death is the end, then the only sensible thing to do with your life, yes, is to eat, drink, and be merry. Do you find that depressing? Well, Solomon says he does. Why? Well, he says, verse 3, what's to stop then the wicked being wicked? Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that they go to the dead. People do unspeakable things. But what does that matter if death is the end? Death makes a mockery of all life's achievements. Death makes a mockery of every good and wise and righteous act. How depressing, says Solomon. But he doesn't stay depressed for too long because, he says, verse 4, having said all of that, life is better than nothing. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Yes, it's better to be alive than to be dead, isn't it? Better to be a whimpering, mangy scavenger than a dead hero. Yes? Look at verse 5. At least the living know they're going to die. But, says Solomon, the dead know nothing. Are you worried about dying? Are you? Well, says Solomon, at least that means you're alive. You've got to be alive to worry about dying, haven't you? But when you're dead, you're dead. It's the end of the book and the book is closed. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. In the Second World War, Russia lost 20 million people. When I read those words in verses 5 and 6, I'm reminded of a poem that was written by a Russian mother for her dead son. Farewell then, my son, my conscience, my youth, my solace, my one and my only. And let this farewell be the end of a story, solitude vast, where none is more lonely, in which you remain barred forever and ever from light and from air, with your death pangs untold, untold and unsoothed, not to be resurrected forever and ever an 18-year-old. Farewell then. No trains ever come from those regions, scheduled or unscheduled. No aeroplanes fly there. Farewell then, my son. For no miracles happen, as in this world, dreams do not come true. Farewell, I will dream of you still as a baby, treading the earth with little strong toes, the earth where so many lie buried. This song to my son has come to its close. The dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Do you see? If death is the end, then your loves, your hates, your jealousies, your achievements, they ultimately have no meaning. Some years ago I was clearing a house. I came across a box inside of which were hundreds of photographs. Some of them were probably probably 100 years old. And there were photographs of weddings, and family get-togethers, and family portraits. And if you look through them, no one knew who they were. They were people from another age. They died years ago. And to be honest, what did I care of their loves, and their scandals, and their lives, and their triumphs? And just as they are forgotten, so sooner than you think will you be. So while you're alive, while you have something that's real, life, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 7, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. Enjoy life while you can, for God has already accepted your works. Or a better translation is, now is the time that God is favoring you. Since you don't know what this arbitrary God is going to do with you tomorrow, but he's favoring you today, you've got life, you've got the capacity to enjoy it, well, go on, enjoy it to the full today. Verse 8, let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Or you might say to a young lady, go out to the shops, go and buy yourself a nice dress, put some makeup on, and go partying. Yep, don't worry, be happy. Make the best of what you've got. And if you're too old for that, well, verse 9, enjoy life with the missus. Delight in her love. For even the greatest love stories don't last beyond the grave. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, your empty life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. For that is your portion in life and the labor which you will perform under the sun. So Solomon, what meaningless lives we live. Who's going to care what I did 100 years from now? So enjoy life while you can. Enjoy family life. Go for it, he says. Verse 10, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So if death is the end, the only thing that's real is today, this life that I'm living now. So eat, drink, and be merry. Reason number one, do it because life's absurd. Reason number two, do it because death is the end. Reason number three, well, says Solomon, life's unfair. Verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. In this life, people don't get what they deserve, do they? The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Maybe someone was thinking of Twickenham yesterday in England and Wales. The race wasn't to the swift, was it? Or the battle to the strong? Maybe you might argue with that. The Solomon is saying, just because you're fast doesn't mean you'll win. In the Winter Olympics of 2002, Steve Bradbury from Brisbane won Australia's first ever gold medal, Winter Olympics. He was a speed skater. He only got to the final because other competitors in the quarter and semi-finals had either fallen over or been disqualified. Anyway, to the final. Speed skating. With only 15 meters to go to the finishing line, so what's that, from here to the back doors, he was fifth in a field of five. He was in last place. So what happened? Just before the finishing line, the four skaters in front of him, they all fell over. There was a great big pile-up. And Steve just got his way through and crossed the finishing line and took the gold medal. As he will tell you, the race is not to the swift. And the battle isn't to the strong. Just because you've got the firepower doesn't mean you're going to win the battle. And okay, as Solomon says, or bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. You may well be brighter than the rest. But does that mean you're going to get the best job? Or reap the greatest reward? And just because you're gifted, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be recognized for it. Maybe you're still nursing a grudge when the football team was picked. You weren't picked. Somebody else was picked. And you know, and everybody else knows that you're better than them, but they got in the team in front of you. That's not fair, is it? Life is unfair. Says Solomon, two things are always working against you. Verse 11, but time and chance happen to them all. My friend, time is against you. That sand in the hourglass is still pouring through, isn't it? And so often the last grain drops before you've had time to receive the recognition that you deserve. Time and chance. Some people are just unlucky, aren't they? Are you? Are you unlucky? You've ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time? Who remembers here Colin Bell? Manchester City in England. When the big occasion came, he was just such an unlucky footballer. He either hit the crossbar or the post or just missed. He was someone who was unlucky, you'd say. I think it was Napoleon. He was looking to select an officer for a particular mission. And he was looking at this particular officer's very impressive record, at the end of which Napoleon said, yes, but is he lucky? But time and chance happen to them all. An RAF aircrew were over Germany in a Halifax bomber. And with them was a young trainee pilot. He was just out of school. And it was his second raid, and there he was, standing by the pilot, watching and learning. And as they were in their bombing raid, they flew over some heavy flak, that's anti-aircraft fire from the ground, and this lad, fresh out of school, he was hit, and he bled to death. Well, they managed to get the bomber back to this country, and the next morning the aircrew inspected their battered Halifax. And they were able to trace the trajectory of that single significant lump of German metal, no more than about 2 inches across. It had come to the bottom of the aircraft to sever an artery in this young man's thigh, but then it had continued onward and upward to tear a hole through the navigator's seat. At the time, he wasn't sitting in it. He was elsewhere. One piece of metal. And one dies, and one lives. One's unlucky, and one that day, luck was with him. Time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. None of us know when that last grain of sand is going to fall. Since I've started speaking, in this world, 3,600 people have died. For them, in these last few minutes, that last grain of sand has fallen, and they have died. None of us knows when our time will be. It could be tonight. For man also does not know his time. Like a fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Sigmund Freud said, nobody really believes in his own death. Strange, isn't it? When it comes, death is unexpected. We don't know when our time will come, only that when it comes too soon. Look at the language of verse 12. Think of that young man, like a fish taken in a cruel net. It seems cruel, doesn't it? Like a bird caught in a snare. So the sons of man are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Says Solomon, my friend, life is unfair. One day it smiles upon you, but the next, it's unpredictable. Time and chance happen to us all. So that being so, what's the only sensible thing to do if you're thinking? Is to live life to the full now. Extract from the moment all that you can, because the moment is all that you have. Eat, drink, and be merry. So says Solomon. This life being all that you have, and life being absurd, and death being the end, and life being unfair, unlucky, the only thing to do is to enjoy your life while you can, while you've got something real to hold on to. So let me ask you, my friend, do you? You know what it's like? What keeps you going from week to week? What makes life bearable for you? Shopping? Holidays, nights out, sport, drink, sex, drugs, relationships, family, food, home, having a laugh. What is your life? What do you pack your life with? And is your life more than those things? Are you really happy? Are you really satisfied with what Solomon says, with this conclusion, eat, drink, and be merry? It sounds okay, doesn't it? Sounds all right. Yeah, I don't mind a bit of that. But is it? And when I go down that road, are you never bored? Or lonely? Or sad? And what happens when the music's over? Do you never feel empty? Do you never feel, this life I'm living, I've got to do something with it? My life must be more than this. Do you never have those thoughts? Have you heard of Ernest Hemingway? One of the most famous writers of the 20th century. He took Solomon at his word. He lived, if you looked at it, life to the full. Drinking, brawling, posing, women, got married 4 times, bullfighting, big game hunting, deep sea fishing. He was a success. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature. And you think, what a life. Several brushes with death, excitement, all sorts of things. What a life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then he put a gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. Solomon's answer wasn't the answer, was it? He tried it, but it didn't work. Eat, drink, be merry. Is that it? Is it? Are you going to be happy with that? Solomon says, so I commended enjoyment because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. He says nothing better. Is that true? Solomon says, death comes to all. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Death comes to all. But is Solomon right? Is death the end? Why is it that I cling to life, even if it is a dog's life? Solomon says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain, empty life, which is given to you under the sun, all the days of vanity. Solomon says, my life is meaningless. Do I really believe that? Is it meaningless? Is there no point to me? Solomon says, truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So says Solomon, it doesn't matter how you live. You could do what you like, be as wicked as you like, because death is the end of it all. Says Solomon. But is he right? If he's right, why then do I have a conscience? Why are there things that I'm ashamed of, and I really am? Why do I sometimes feel so guilty? It's as though somebody's seen me, somebody knows. It's as though I know somewhere deep down inside that one day I'm going to have to face the music. Solomon says, but is Solomon right? Is life unfair? Is life absurd? Is death the end? Is the only answer to eat, drink, and be merry? Well, yes, it is. If there is no God. Remember this phrase that Solomon keeps on using. He keeps saying, under the sun, under the sun. And if you leave God out of the picture, then this is the only logical way to live. Because there is nothing more. This is it. So make the most of it. But are you really going to be satisfied with that? As Bob Geldof said, he said, is that it? Well, is it? Do you see what Solomon's doing in this passage? He's standing in the shoes of an unconverted person, and he's making you face up to what it really means to live a life without God. If there is no God and you live without God, then the best you can possibly do is eat, drink, and be merry, because there is nothing else. He's making you face up to it. Because most of the time we don't think about it. Most of the time we don't face up to our existence. Most of the time we pretend that life is sweet when we know deep down inside it's not. And the tragedy is, for so many, we wake up to these things too late. We only wake up to it when that last grain of sand falls. And we close our eyes in this world only for our eyes to open in the world to come. And we've been living by this maxim, eat, drink and be merry, only on that day to wake up in the next world to find out that I've been living a lie. By which time it's too late. Because the Bible says that you are going to eternity via the judgment. There is a world beyond this world. And you see, having lived for myself and wronged God and played where God has forbidden, when I stand before God, there's no way I can prove my innocence. And guilty. Those stirrings in me are real. There is a reckoning. I will have to face the music. And guilty, I will be condemned to hell. To what the Bible calls the everlasting burnings. Hell tonight is full of people who ate and drank and were having a good time. Well, actually, they weren't really. They were all pretending to each other they were having a good time. And they didn't wake up to it until it was too late. Are you going to join their ranks? Are you going about it already the right way? Young people, are you going to go out and forget God and party and think that these people here and your parents are losers and fools? Are you going to do that? Well, actually, you'll get bored of it very quickly. You really will. And it's not just that you'll get bored of it, or that you'll mess up your life, or that you'll experience sorrows which you could have avoided, but actually the key thing is you will have missed the main event. You'll have gone through life missing what life is really all about. And that's to know and to enjoy and to glorify the living God. And all you'll be left with are ashes. And you will perish under the curse of God, and you will weep forever. Solomon's words here, they're words spoken under the sun. It's life without God, and he's doing it to show you just how bankrupt a life is without God. Eat, drink, be merry. Is that the best we can do with our lives? Well, that's rubbish, isn't it? It really is. If that's the best we can do, it's rubbish. And Solomon is saying it to make you face up to what you're doing. He's doing it to push you into the arms of the gospel. If life is under the sun, nothing has been revealed from above. This is all we have. Okay, go for it. But as the Bible is not, there is life above the sun. Things have been revealed. In fact, someone has come from above. Not just to show us that there is a God, but to bring us back to God. And his name is Jesus. There's an old Negro spiritual. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home. Do you feel like that? A long way from home? Well, Jesus Christ is here tonight in the gospel, and he stretches out his hand and he says, take it. I've come to take you home. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And having lived a perfect life, because it does make a difference in this world what you do, Jesus went to a cross. He wasn't a victim of time and chance. He wasn't like a bird that was taken in a snare against his will. It was all in the plan. And there on the cross, his arms were stretched out wide. They were nailed to a cross. And there he suffered and bled and died. And my sins, the sins of Gerard Hemmings, and that of countless others who've offended God, those sins were put on Jesus. And the punishment I deserve fell upon him. The lion died for the dogs. And God's righteous anger towards my wrongs, it was poured out on Jesus. so that all that unfinished business between God and me, that I have offended him and wronged him, all that unfinished business was finished at Calvary. And I, a guilty, filthy sinner, am forgiven and saved and brought back to God. And Jesus didn't just die. He rose from the dead. There is someone who's come back to say there is life beyond the grave. And he's alive forevermore. And every lover of Jesus will tell you that if you want to live life to the full, you haven't even begun until you come to Christ. All that you once thought was great and wonderful, you'll see one day if you come to Christ as so much rubbish, so much dung to be thrown away, that you might have Christ. That life is to be found not in eating and drinking and pretending we're having a great time. That's a miserable treadmill. Life is to be found in surrendering everything to Jesus Christ, giving my life to him. He said, I didn't come to destroy lives. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And he's here tonight. Invisibly, he's here tonight in the preaching of his word. And you're far from home. Well, Jesus stretches out that hand. He's still stretching out his hand to you. And he says, take my hand. I've come to take you home. I've come to bring you back to God. Will you take it? Will you? You're going to go out of here and party, live a lie, die a fool? Or are you going to take his hand? Say, oh Lord, lead me home. I really have messed up. I really have sinned. But you died on the cross to save sinners. So save me. Don't leave me. Don't walk past me. Take my hand and save me and change me. Solomon has told us, in an uncertain world, there is one great certainty, and that is death. You don't know when that last grain of sand will fall. God only guarantees you one day when you may call upon him, when you can be certain of finding him. And that's today. Jesus really is here tonight. He stretches out his hand to you. He will save all who call upon him, including you. Let's pray.